Welcome to Nightlife. Bite-sized food.
What started as a group of six Sydney Jewish women getting together in the kitchen has now resulted in their third cookbook. This time around, Monday Morning Cooking Club, it's always about the food, searches the Jewish diaspora around the world for those magic family recipes that haven't been shared widely. From Jewish communities in Mexico, Norway, Cardiff and New York, Monday Morning Cooking Club has collected, tested and curated these recipes to come up with not only a book filled with beautiful food, but also fascinating life stories. And that's what cooking is about, isn't it? In the end, sharing some stories as well as getting stuck in. Joining me now, two members of the Monday Morning Cooking Club, Lisa Goldberg and Marilyn Chambers. Ladies, good evening and welcome to Nightlife.
Hi, great to be here.
Hi.
How did the thing start, the club?
Well, we got together over 10 years ago now to write a book, a cookbook, the most beautiful cookbook that could sit on any bookshelf in any store. That was our brief, right, to ourselves.
Who was us?
Having no idea. It was Natanya, one of the other authors, and me. We were the two that sort of got together in the beginning. And our aim, and the others joined sort of over the next few months, and our aim was to find the best recipes from the best cooks in our community.
Mm-hmm.
We are part of the Jewish community, and one thing I'll tell you about the Jewish community is we are obsessed with food.
Yeah.
So we wanted to share that, celebrate it, and tell the world. And so we started there.
So you were probably trying to answer the most, you know, the question which just gets to everybody, trying to raise families and run lives and, you know, attend work and all of that. So what are we having for dinner tonight? What's for dinner tonight?
It's the toughest question.
It's a shocking question. Marilyn, isn't it?
It's a tough question. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't decided what I'm making yet for dinner tonight, so I'm hoping you can give me a bit of inspiration.
What's for dinner tomorrow night?
Dinner tomorrow night? Oh, no, it's brisket. It's brisket and it's already waiting in the fridge to be smeared with some dried mustard and herbs and then have a sauce put on top.
What's the best way to go about it though? Is it, see, some people say, I was a bit of an impulse shopper, so thinking, you know, on the way home, I'll find something.
Yeah.
Mm. Other people say, no, that's no good. You've got to plan it all in advance.
Look, in an ideal world.
Lisa?
An ideal world, we would all plan on Sunday night what we're cooking Monday to Thursday, right?
Yeah,
we'd have our lists. We'd know we go to the shops once.
Yeah.
We'd do it all.
We don't do that.
But who does that? No, who can really do that?
No.
So we do end up stopping at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock on the way home, running into the fish shop, buying a salmon fillet, coming home, looking into the fridge, seeing that there's a cucumber, a tomato and some capers and making a dressing and there's your dinner, right? That's what I do.
Yeah, I think it's great to have some really fabulous staples, some condiments that you can put together. Some basic veggies are always in the fridge and I have a rough structure. So Monday is chicken, Tuesday is fish.
Oh, that's interesting. See, that's what I should, I came at the end of the period thinking that's what I should have done. I should have just said, that's right, Monday's chicken, Tuesday's fish.
But after
After that,
it's quite spontaneous. Mm. I won't necessarily choose what chicken recipe I'm going to make until Monday, but I've got that rough structure in my head.
But it's really interesting to see what people like to cook from our books. And there's one recipe for, it's actually ocean trout in the book. This is our last book, but we all do it with salmon because you marinate it the day before and then you cook it the next day when you want to eat it. So it's so easy for people who are time poor. You go to the fish shop once, you buy fresh snapper on day one, you buy salmon for the next day, marinate it overnight, and then you've got two dinners done. You know, that's that's what people love, you know. Or a chicken you can marinate overnight and put in the fridge and then the next day just pull it out and bake it.
There's a recipe in the new book, It's Always About the Food, that's about, it's a snapper, I think. I'm trying to remember, with a soy, it's a steamed snapper with soy and ginger, and it's absolutely beautiful, and you can have that made. It's prepped in 5 minutes and it's cooked 10 minutes later.
Oh, okay. Where do you get all the recipes from?
The recipes come.
Are they family recipes?
Yes. So each book is an anthology of about 65 different cooks.
Mm-hmm.
And we look for the recipes that are their most treasured recipes that their family and their friends, when they eat at their house, that's the one dish that they really want to eat. So it's home cooking. It's food that real people have made and become famous in their circle and in their family for this dish.
Okay. You're all, I mean, the group is essentially from the Ashkenazi community, isn't it? From Eastern Europe?
Yeah. Well,
yes, that's pretty much.
So is that the influence of the food, that it's Eastern European?
No,
it's almost gone the other way, actually. Because we've got so many of these Sephardi-influenced recipes, and I think in this book, a lot of tahini and a lot of, what else have we got? You know, eggplant and
even
and
malawak spices. Couscous, yeah. Yemenite bean soup. And you're right, all five of us are Ashkenazi, which is, you know, Western Europe, I guess. But I was Sephardi in my first life. No doubting it.
We're talking to two of the women, Lisa Goldberg and Marilyn Chalmers, from the Monday Morning Cooking Club. It's essentially a community-based cooking club that's actually produced, I think, what is it, five books now?
This is our third book.
And the books, of course, are sold, and the profits do go to charity, don't they, too?
Yes.
So
we like to call that the icing on the cake for us.
Yeah. Which is a terrific thing, too. A lot of the stories, I guess, too, are about, I mentioned at the start that food, you know, is about story. As well, so, and the stories of where some of these recipes came from. Have you got some?
We've got lots. Where do we start? Okay, I'll tell you one that actually is one of my favourite stories in the book. So we searched the world for this book, and it's hard to search the world because it's a really big place. Even the Jewish community within the world is hard to reach, but we did our best, and we found someone in Wales who we got a recipe from the friend of the daughter of the first rabbi's wife. She was born in 1918, from the First Reform Synagogue in Cardiff. So that was pretty amazing. So we got a recipe of hers, and we've got her story in the book. And she used to believe food was like the thing that was going to bring the people together in her community. So she would have these events at the synagogue where she would cook all these dishes, and people would come, and they would meet and talk and eat together. And so that recipe for us, when we look at that, a recipe from 1948, I think it comes from that year, a newly formed community in Cardiff. We've got the recipe here in Sydney, Australia, that we have now written so that anybody can make it, and now we'll share it with the world. And that, to us, is a really special connection.
One of my favourites is for an Algerian couscous. It's a recipe that's been passed from a lady who was born in Morocco, and she now lives in Marseille in the south of France, and she's given it to her daughter and to her grandchildren. But what I love, or what I visualize about her, is that she's elderly now, and she's one of three sisters, and they've got longevity in the family. And the three sisters get together and cook together when they can, because one of them lives in Paris. But they all get together and they cook. And apparently they boss around their daughters, who are adults, well and truly. And they don't like them coming into the kitchen because they get in the way. And I just visualize these three tiny little French Moroccan grandmothers bossing their daughters around.
One of the great things about the Jewish community is its notion of community centering around food. I mean, the traditional Friday night Shabbat, which is not something that other communities have particularly, but that seems to be mostly about food.
It's much more about food than anything else. I just think we've had a stroke of luck because Australians used to get together for Sunday lunch, but life has got too busy. And most people can put a full stop at the end of the week. Even if you go down and have a beer after work, you can still make it home in time for Friday night dinner.
that's true. How do you you get these recipies, but do you actually test kitchen them? What makes the cut to get in the book?
You have to satisfy five very, passionate women that it's the best recipe of its type. And we test and test and test. It's not unusual for a recipe to be tested 6, 7, 8 times until it's perfected. And we want recipes that are absolutely fail-proof, so that anyone should be able to go home and make a good fist of making it.
I mean, necessarily, because we're talking about the Jewish community. I mean, a number of the recipes are about survival stories too, I imagine.
Aren't they?
There's the story of Anita Zweig.
Yes.
Whose family escaped the Nazis in and came to Australia. Tell me about her.
Yes. Well, Anita actually lives in Sydney, which was convenient for us, and she invited us over into her lovely petite kitchen to teach us how to make backhendel, I think it's called.
What's that?
Imagine schnitzel, but it's little spatchcocks cut into pieces, so little chickens. And it brought back very tender memories for me because my mother made something quite similar when I was little. So she taught us how to make it. She gave us, what was the other thing, Lisa? I think cucumber salad or something. She came with it. And she had more energy than the three of us put together. Tiny little dot of a beautiful lady. And afterwards she said, okay, that's it. now we eat. And the table was set with all her beautiful plates and cutlery, and we had to sit there and eat with her and have a glass of wine.
It was beautiful.
And she's just the most beautiful person.
And hear her story. I mean, that's the most amazing thing for us in this journey, is that we hear these stories along the way and we fall in love with the people who give us the stories and the stories. It's wonderful.
Mm.
Yes, my next door neighbour, a similar story. My next door neighbour invited me over for lunch one Sunday and presented me with not very small schnitzels, very large schnitzels, which I was quite hungry. So I tucked in, only to discover that they were course two of about eight courses. Actually, I was probably meant to eat that many. And then there's George Sternfield, who's a guide at the Sydney Jewish Museum. Tell me about him.
He's beautiful. He's got a cooking club and they get together and choose the music. Everyone brings along a dish from that country
And they dress up.
They dress up in the costume of that country. And he's also very energetic, very personable, charming, a really sort of dashing gentleman.
One of the things that we're all time poor these days, and you know, recipe books are way more often read than cooked out of, I suspect.
Yeah, true.
I mean, all of us have got a lot of recipe books, but I wonder how many recipes get cooked out of them. But still, they're often nice to read. But the essence of a great dish, one that gets used a lot in the family, is one that's easily cooked, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think about the Roman lamb, which is my current favourite in this book.
Tell me about the Roman lamb.
Because it is one that, like, my worst thing is cooking for people when you have to run around in the kitchen for the last hour before they arrive. Because you don't want to do that.
You want to talk to them.
That's right. Yeah. So this is my perfect one, because you basically make a sauce with simple ingredients that you'll have at home. You stick the lamb shoulder in the oven with some olive oil and some herbs for an hour. Take it out, put the sauce over, put it back in, 5 hours. Don't touch it. Don't look at it. That's ready. It's unbelievable. It's fall apart, fork tender, sweet, spicy. Oh, so good.
What do we eat it with?
Ah, rice pilaf. There's an Israeli rice pilaf in here that is basically rice, but you put on it a topping
of. What sort of rice?
I think it's basmati. Yeah. Fried onions. Now, fried onions are a thing we know a thing or two about. Like, we always joke that we should call one of our books, you start with an onion, because Jewish cooking and fried onions go hand in hand. So we've got golden dark fried onions, way past caramelized, little vermicelli noodles that are also fried, currants, pine nuts, toss that through the oil, put it on top of the rice. What more could you want?
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
What about that? I mean, Jewish food's full of desserts too.
Oh, yeah.
I think for every one savory recipe we've been given, we get five sweet.
I think it's also
tell me your favorite one, Marilyn.
I need to come back to
what
that.
What about you, Lisa?
I think custard chiffon cake.
Custard chiffon
cake, because it's my mother's. So it's a cake. It's not really
like a baked custard, is it?
No, it's like an angel cake. It's very, very light, but it tastes a bit custardy, and it's in our first book, and it's a cake that I grew up with. Probably my earliest memory of it is when I was about three, coming home from kindy, and my mother would sit me on the kitchen counter next to the gas burner. You know, like, didn't have OS&H in those days.
Of course not. No.
And I'd have a slice of yellow cake while Mum was prepping dinner.
Nice. Lisa Goldberg and Marilyn Chambers are my guests. They're two of the women from the Monday Morning Cooking Club. A wonderful, spirited exercise, which has resulted in a number of cookbooks full of community recipes too, and great and tested family recipes. Is there a theme that runs through it? Are there certain foods that always turn up?
It's a hard question. This book is probably our most diverse and with no theme, because you look through it and you feel like you've taken a trip around the world. You know, there's really no theme in this book. It's just delicious recipes from the world. So I can't actually say that there is a theme.
It's quite amusing looking back, because we've got 11 years of history now. I don't want to sound too new agey, but it's almost like the universe delivers. It was quite funny with book one that we must have received 10 recipes with sour cream pastry. And none of us had really used sour cream pastry terribly much, even me with my Hungarian mother. And the second book, we got a whole plethora of gluten-free recipes. It's that's what people are interested in, and it's a certain fashion. And I agree with Lisa that this book it was more balanced and not one particular trend, but there is quite a lot of Sephardi, modern Middle Eastern, okay, I think, that's still accessible and easy in this book.
Which is hugely fashionable, of course, at the moment.
Yes.
At the moment.
Yes.
Hugely fashionable. All right. Well, lovely to meet you, ladies, and good luck with the book.
Thank you.
It's a terrific exercise. And are you still meeting Monday mornings?
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and every sort of messaging system you could find in between.
All right. Okay. Well, there's some wonderful recipes in it too. It's a great read, and get stuck into it if you want to get cooking too. Lisa Goldberg and Marilyn Chambers, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.